But we've been in Luke, and so continued on in Luke. Last week, John was preaching about the Last Supper, and I'm picking up in Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 31. And just to give you a little background of where we are, Jesus is just hours from his death. He's hours from the cross. He's together with the 12 in the upper room. They're celebrating the Passover. It's here where Jesus washes their feet, washes the disciples' feet. He tells them of his upcoming betrayal and death, and they're clueless, you know. He says, somebody's going to betray me. They're even here, and they begin, what, is it me? You know, who's it going to be? You know, and then I'm sure, knowing humankind, I imagine there's whispers, you know, well, it's got to be Judas, or it's got to be, you know, maybe it's so-and-so over there. You know, I don't know. But they're figuring out or they're arguing over who they might, you know, or who it might be. And then it goes from that to this dispute over who's the greatest. You know, can you see this happening? You know, just picture the setting. Jesus always with this group of disciples that really never got what Jesus was trying to teach them, trying to show them why he truly came. You know, and so Jesus, I'm sure, was just shaking his head, you know. John called Jesus the goat last week. Not a goat, but the goat he did. He said Jesus is the goat, greatest of all time. And, you know, he's like, you guys think you're really something, you know, reclining here at this table, and yet I am the king of everything, and yet I serve you. And so that's kind of like where we are. Jesus calls out Peter. Only he doesn't call him Peter. He calls him by his birth name. Let's read the passage and then we'll go line by line. How about that? So Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 31. Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have returned again, or turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go both to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times that you know me. And he said to them, when I sent you out with no money bag or knapsack or sandals, did you lack anything? They said, nothing. He said to them, but now let the one who has a money bag take it, and likewise a knapsack, and let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors. For what is written about me has its fulfillment. And they said, Lord, look, here's two swords. And he said to them, it's enough. It's enough. Now, there's a lot going on here. So first of all, Jesus calls out Peter. But he doesn't call him by his birth name. He calls him Simon. So picture this with me, if you will. This dispute. Who's the greatest? You know, Peter was Simon, and Jesus said, Peter, you know, Simon, you are Peter, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church. And so Peter was the only one that Jesus changed his name, you know, so I'm sure he's like, hey, you know, I was Simon, but now I'm Peter. Jesus says I'm Peter, and, you know, he's going to build the church on the rock. Now, by the way, Peter's not the first pope, as the Catholic religion teaches. How do you know that? Well, lots of reasons. Number one, I was raised in the Catholic religion. I was saved out of the Catholic religion. But they take these words, and they're two very different Greek words. When it says in Matthew 16:18, it says, "Thou art Peter." That Greek word is Petros. "And upon this rock I will build my church," which is Petra. So you got Peter, little rock. Upon this rock, Petra, massive rock. So he's not saying, "Peter, I'm going to build my church on you," which the Catholic Church teaches. And so that's where they get that Peter was the very first pope. And he's saying, "No, I'm building my church upon the massive rock, Petra. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. He is the massive rock upon which all of the gospel rests." Amen. He is the Savior of the world. It's not on a person, the person of Peter. It's on the person of Jesus Christ. And so, just to clear that up. So, here we come to where Jesus says, "Simon," you know, they're arguing. And I imagine Peter's still pretty salty about Jesus saying, calling him Simon. Probably because he was acting out in the flesh, you know. And so he calls him out. And which brings me to my first point. And I just want you to follow along with me. If you're writing notes down, I'm an alliterated preacher. I just have been all my life, so you're going to hear an alliterated sermon. So the first point is this: the protection of Jesus. Now you think about that for a minute. He says, "Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat." So Jesus is protecting Peter. He protects us, and it's evidenced by his knowing. Okay? How does he know that? He says, "Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat." Have you ever sifted wheat? Well, in doing so, it's like a violent shaking, you know, to separate the wheat from the chaff. And he says, "Satan demands to have you, but I have prayed for you." So Jesus knew that Satan was after him, wanted to sift him like wheat. But Jesus said, "I'm praying for you." Did you know that Jesus not only has prayed for us, but he does pray for us? Look, if you will, John 17, is that up there, John 17? Jesus is about to be put to death, and he's praying. And in verse 20 of John 17, he says, he's praying for his disciples that God would give them strength. And he says, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me." So all those who will believe in Jesus, I mean, he's praying for all those future ones. He's prayed for you. Hebrews 7:25, is that up? What are you doing over there? What?
It's only Luke.
Bro, he took down the verses to put them in there. You need to have a talk with these guys. He's shaking his head back there. It's in there. I know it's in there. Hebrews 7:25 and then Romans 8:34. We'll just go there real quick to Romans. How about that? Romans 8:34. You don't have to turn there, but just listen to this verse real quick. He says, you say, "Well, does Jesus really pray for me?" He says right here, "Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us." He intercedes for us. He prays for us. And man, I'll tell you what. We just don't really know, like Peter, how much I think sometimes we need. I mean, we need him all the time, but I'm saying if we really knew how desperately we needed Christ, we'd be in prayer 24/7, you know. And so I think, too, Peter was very self-confident, you know. And so Peter's here, you know, he's saying, what do you mean? You know, Satan's about to sift me like wheat. And Peter says, Lord, hey, look, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And then Jesus says, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day till you have denied me three times. I want you to see, too, that Jesus' protection is not just evidenced in his knowing, and it's not just evidenced in his praying, but it's evidenced in his restoring power. And I want you to, we'll talk about that more in a minute. But I just, Jesus sees beyond our failures to restoration. Aren't you thankful? I mean, you're not the sum. We're not the sum of our failures, as the devil would have us to believe. I don't know about you, but I've really messed up in my life. And I'm thankful that God takes our messes and he turns them into messages. You know, everybody in here, one way or another, has had a mess in their life. And if you haven't, well, you're either lying or you're headed toward a mess. I'm just saying, everybody has something. You know, I was at Dollar General yesterday. Kelsey, are you here? All right. Y'all pray for Kelsey. All right. I was in Dollar General and I was getting my granddaughter, what I thought I was on a mission to get my princess granddaughter donuts and a cappuccino, which she does not need a cappuccino. Oh, there she is right there. Oh my gosh. You're supposed to be in the nursery. Okay. You bailed on your mother. All right, cool. So I thought that I was supposed to get donuts and a cappuccino. And so the lady at the register, Kelsey, she said, how are you? And I said, I'm good. How are you? And she said, just another day in paradise. And I said, this isn't paradise. Not even close. She said, oh, really? Well, it's as close as I'm going to get. I said, don't say that. Don't say that. I said, I'm going to paradise. She said, great. Take me with you. I said, well, I can't take you with me, but I can tell you how to get there. You know, she's just teeing it up. But she said, all right, how do you get there? I said, Jesus. And when I said Jesus, she said, you know, I really have been wanting a change in my life. I said, good, Jesus is the way. I said, man, look. She said, but, you know, I can't go to church because I don't have all the right clothes and da-da-da-da-da. And I said, come like you are because I'm preaching like this. And this is actually what I was wearing yesterday. I did wash it. And I said, look, I'm preaching tomorrow and I'm preaching like this. So you come as you are. And she said, yeah, but I said, look, we got all kind of folk up in our church. You know, we got ex-drug addicts. Let me hear from you. Any drug addicts, ex-former drug addicts? There they are. See, they're all over the place. Hallelujah. Former. Now, what's the difference, Jesus? We got alcoholics. Where are your alcoholics? I'm one of them. There they are. All right, so in Christ, you're brand spanking new. Amen? You're not the product of your failures. That doesn't define you. Jesus does. Amen? I mean, we could go down the list of of you know, all of those people. Well, hallelujah, those people are the people that Jesus came to save. And guess what? We are those people. And Jesus is mighty to save. It's evidenced in his restoring power. So pray for Kelsey. When you go into Dollar General, if you see a lady there and she's got a name tag that says Kelsey, say, come to Gospel Life Church, 10 o'clock Sunday. Or better yet, invite her to Jesus. You know, don't just invite them to church. Invite them to come to know Christ. And so, wow. Yeah. Restoration. It's a beautiful thing. Maybe you're here today and you have had a messed up life. And maybe you're right in the middle of a mess. Can I just tell you that Jesus is the answer to every mess. Every single mess. And he takes them and he makes these beautiful stories. And he uses you to go out and say, hey, you know what? To the drug addicts, say, you know, there's a better way, Jesus. To the alcoholics, hey, you know what? You're not going to find hope in that bottle. You know, the only hope you're going to find is in Jesus. Amen? And so let God use us in everything that he has brought us through, that message. And so, amen. His grace and his mercy and his forgiveness equips us to strengthen others. You know, that's why he was telling Peter, when you turn again, strengthen your brethren. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. But, you know, Peter was prideful. You know, anybody ever struggle with pride? Yeah, like every day that ends in Y. You know, I mean, it's a terrible thing. And I mean, golly, God forbid we who have been saved by the grace of God dare to take any ounce of glory. Everything was done in Christ. In Christ. Oh, I'm going to tell on myself. Man, you just don't know what kind of a prideful dude you asked to preach today. So I've been going to the prison, and there's a church there, Living Waters Baptist Church. That's one of three churches. Well, they were voted unanimously in to be in the Lafayette Marshall County Baptist Association. And so that was the picture that I sent you. And they took Rip, Pastor Rip, who is he's got like 15 more years of his 30-year sentence. He's the pastor of this church, and the deputy superintendent brought him out of prison to this church in Oxford, and all these churches gathered around and just embraced this guy. Well, Jerry East, and I already called him and confessed to him my pride. Jerry East is the associational director of missions. And so he turns around, and I'm standing next to Rip, and he goes, so how do you fit in all this, you know? Pride was just like, whoosh, I'm the one that called you. And I'm like, all right, I'm just being real, y'all. It came to my mouth to say, I'm the one that called you, told you about this church. Y'all got all this together. I did all this, you know, writing back and forth for you emails and da-da-da-da-da to get all this stuff together. So that's why we're here. Isn't that horrible? I'm just being honest. But it came right there, and the Holy Spirit saying, shut up, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it. And I said it. And then I felt even worse, you know? I'm like, how you shake into all this? I'm like, I'm the guy that called you. You know, I'm like, hey, what do you mean, bro? You know, it was just horrible. Pride is a horrible thing. And I rode home that night. I was like, idiot, 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 idiot. You know, and then I called Jerry, and I'm like, I am so sorry, you know. Huh? Yeah, really. He was like, what? But, yeah, he was like, don't even think about it, bro. I didn't even think. It wasn't even a thing. But it was a thing because the Holy Spirit said, it's a thing. You know, when the Holy Spirit puts his finger on you, you need to confess. You know, and so Peter was prideful. You know, I'm not telling you that to make us prideful people feel better. I'm just saying he was full of pride, you know. I'm going to go to the death with you. Nah, Peter, you know, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. And so Peter was bold, but he was naive. You know, he was underestimating his weakness, but overestimating his courage. Pride blinds us to our need for Christ and feeds confidence in self. I might need to say that again for my sake. Pride blinds us to our need for Christ and feeds confidence in self. True strength comes from humility and dependence on Christ. So, moving on. The pride of Peter. How about the prophecy of Jesus? It was undeniable. He said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Can you imagine that? Peter's like, no way, Lord. It'll never happen. Wait a minute. Weren't you with Jesus? No, I don't know what you're talking about. No, really, you were with... No, I was not. Yeah, hey, there's... No, I was not. Blankety blank, blank, blank. You know, he cussed and said, I was not with him. And then you hear that rooster crow. Can you imagine how Peter felt at that moment? Golly. How many times have you failed in your walk with Christ? Again, you're not the sum of all your failures. Now, if you're living in these failures and you keep, you know, just falling and falling and falling and you have no conviction, then you know what? You might ought to check whether or not you're saved. Because I'm going to tell you something. You cannot sin and not be convicted if the Holy Spirit lives in you. If you can sin and not be bothered by it, then the Holy Spirit either is grieved to the point that you just really don't hear the Holy Spirit anymore, or you're just plain lost. You say, well, that's kind of mean. No, I think that's the lovingest thing that a preacher can tell somebody is say, look, here's the thing. There's none righteous, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. There's nothing you can do but repent and call upon Jesus. Repentance. Whew, man. It's a beautiful thing. It's just agreeing with God about your sin, you know? Have you ever really just gotten real with God and said, you know what? I'm everything the Word says I am. And then when you come to Jesus, you say, you know what? I'm everything, Jesus, that you say I am. I'm redeemed. I'm made new. I am righteous. I'm written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I have a brand new life. It's the already, not yet. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, those of us in Christ. Nothing can keep me from heaven. I don't deserve to go, but I'm going. Only because of Jesus and what he did for me and what he did for me, he did for you. And maybe you're here today and you say, well, I've never really thought twice about it. You know, I'm a good person. Let me tell you what that kind of talk is. That's pride. The Bible says there's none good. No, not one, not one. And so Peter was dealing with this pride, and we do too. So Jesus, right here, he right after this, when he tells Peter that he's going to deny him, and then when Peter denies him, he kind of switches gears real quick. And then he says this. He says, well, and he said to them, when I sent you out with no money bag or knapsack or sandals, did you lack anything? And they said, nothing. He said to them, but now let one who has a money bag take it, and likewise a knapsack. And let the one who has a sword sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that the scripture must be fulfilled in me. And then he quotes from Isaiah 53, verse 37. He says, and he was numbered with his transgressors. And then he says, for what was written about me has its fulfillment. And they said, look, Lord, here's two swords. And he said to them, it's enough. It's enough. Now, let me just wrap it up here. He's calling them right after Peter has denied him, or he tells him he's going to deny him. He calls them to readiness. And so we as the church, we need to be ready. We need to be ready all the time. Do you believe that Jesus is coming again? No, really. Do you? How do you know? Because he said he was. He's coming again. He's coming again. And could he come today? He could. I don't know. Listen, if you hear somebody say, well, I'm going to tell you when Jesus is coming, don't listen to that. Nobody knows. Nobody knows but the Father. But I'll tell you when he's coming, when God says, go get your children. That's when he's coming. So I'm not going to give you a date. I knew a guy that gave a date. That's rough, man. No way. And they were sitting there in the church on that day. Like, wow. Yeah. So don't listen to people when they say Jesus is coming on October whatever, 2029. Don't do it. Jesus could come today. Are you ready? That's the question. Are there people in your family who need to be ready? Well, he says, you know, sell your cloak and buy a sword. He didn't mean, you know, for violence. He's like, get ready. This is symbolic, saying you need to be ready. So be ready. And all the while, you know, he's sitting there saying that the prophecy is about to be fulfilled in me. And they don't even get it, you know, and they're fumbling around and they find these two swords or, you know, daggers or whatever. And they're like, hey, you know, here's two swords. And some commentators say that, you know, Jesus meant, oh, that'll be enough. No, Jesus, two swords. I mean, Jesus wasn't saying two swords will be enough. He's saying in probably just, he's flabbergasted, like, enough already, you know. And Jesus is about to go to the cross, and they still don't get it. And all the while he's telling them that, they're looking for these. Can you picture it? All right, so last thoughts, and I'm going to close. Let me ask you a few questions, and I'm asking you and myself. Are you filled with pride? Are you relying on you and your limited strength, or are you relying on Christ? Have you failed Christ? God can still use you. We're not the sum of our failures. I've said that already. Remember when I talked about Peter a moment ago and I said we'll get back to that after his denial? Peter on the day of Pentecost got up and boldly preached Jesus, and 3,000 souls came to know the Lord and was added to the church that day. Peter, the same guy. The same guy. Have you allowed failure to define you or refine you? Have you come to the end of you and surrendered to Christ? Have you cried out to Him for salvation? If you have, we have the sword right here, the Word of God. Pick it up and fight the good fight of faith. Maybe you're here and you're filled with self-confidence. Maybe you're here, you're relying on you. I used to rely on me all the time because I really thought that I was a pretty decent person. I was a good person. And my heart was so black. There's none good. On your best day, if you're just good all day, that's like filthy, stinking rags to a holy God. The sacrifice for your sin and my sin was paid by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. How dare us, anyone, come to God and say, I want to go in another way. You know, that, what you did, you gave Jesus, that was awesome, God. Thank you. But yet, I just want to do it another way. I can hear Dr. Skinner saying, well, where he's going to need a summer suit and a fan. Folks, I don't mean to make light of that. I'm just saying, if you're trying to get to heaven on your own good works, you're going to go to the gate, and you're going to stand before a holy God, and that's as far as you'll go. Jesus paid it all. And so, if you're here today, and maybe God has spoken to your heart and said, you know what? You've been relying on you. You've been relying on self. You've been relying on church membership or baptism or being in the United States of America. You've been relying on all these things, but you have never bowed your knee to Christ. You can do that today. You can repent of all of your sin. And you know what? God will save you. God will wash you clean. He'll forgive you of every single sin. And He'll come into your life and He'll give you a brand new life and He'll give you a brand new song and He'll give you a message and you won't be able to contain it. You'll have to tell it. Jesus. I highly recommend Him to everyone. Amen. Well, let's stand together. Our pastor's going to lead us in a little bit of an invitation, or he's going to go to the back, or what are you going to do? It doesn't matter. But listen, stand, and the band's going to come, or the worship team will come. And if you're here today, and maybe you want to just talk to somebody and say, you know what, I need to get right with God. Whatever it is, there'll be people in the back to receive you and talk to you. Maybe it is you just come clean today and say, you know what? I'm tired. I'm tired of this facade of a life that I've been living, and I'm just going to just give it all to Jesus. I'm going to surrender to Him. I am just going to come clean. Maybe that's you. If you just step out and go, I promise you there's not going to be a person that will look on you with judgment or anything like that. They're going to say, hallelujah, somebody else is coming to know Jesus. Maybe today that's you. Would you turn to Him today? Would you surrender to Him today? Would you just empty yourself of everything and just come to wonderful, wonderful saving, saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you'd have your way in our hearts and lives today. In Jesus' name, amen.